We're on.
All right, County Board of Supervisors, reconvene. We are at public hearings 15A. Consider adoption of the fiscal budget.
Good morning, Angela Davis, County Administrator. Today, we are going to be presenting the fiscal year 2026-2027 recommended budget. And I would like to, first of all, give my utmost appreciation and gratitude to the general fund departments who stepped up and made reductions when asked. It is a very painful process, and I have to say that the general fund departments that actually did step up, it just demonstrated to me that they are fully aware of the county fiscal situation as well as being fiscal stewards of the county dollars. So I can't express my appreciation to those general fund departments who really assisted us with being able to present a balanced budget. However, there's a little wet blanket to all of this, is that we are ending fiscal year 25-26 with a very high probability of utilizing one-time funds. It would be the first time of an amount of approximately $689,000. That is something that we are fully aware of, and moving forward, that we need to make sure that departments we get back, they already know this, I'm just reiterating it for the public's sake, is that we cannot spend more than we receive. It's just that budget 101 theology. So we also, with that, have created some budget strategies to be able to assist in the future budget years. With this recommended budget, I am pleased to report that it is a decrease in budget. Of right now, we're looking at $458 million budget total with allocations and revenue. And that is actually a decrease as compared to the fiscal year 25-26 budget by about 1%. It's still a decrease. So we're headed in the right direction to be able to sustain the county, because the funding streams are drying, and we are trying to find creative ways, again, to sustain this county and keep the operations running smoothly. So with that, again, thank you to Sherry Lawson, to our Deputy County Administrator, Chief Fiscal Officer, who worked tirelessly on this budget, along with the auditor staff, specifically Kate Trost, who was amazing through this process. And with all of their efforts, Sherry will be able to present to you today a balanced budget. So, Sherry.
Thank you. Good morning, Board. Sherry Lawson, Deputy County Administrator, here to present the 2026-2027 recommended budget. Apologies, a lot of what Angela said are things that I will repeat, so you have to bear with me and forgive me. Before I talk about the general fund and some of the changes that we made for this coming year, I first wanted to take a moment to thank our departments. As Angela mentioned, they worked very well with us in reducing, even when we didn't want to ask them to have to reduce, because the departments did an excellent job submitting thoughtful, near status quo budgets. From everything I reviewed, it was pretty clear that most departments made a genuine effort to be mindful of their costs while still being able to maintain their services and their operational needs, and many are already operating on a very lean budget. So I just want to commend them for the efforts that they made, because budget development is never easy, especially in a constrained fiscal environment. So I want to acknowledge the work that the departments put into helping us move this recommended budget forward. The recommended budget before you today totals $458.6 million, and this includes $249 million in appropriations and $209 million in revenues. And as Angela mentioned, is a 1.14% decrease from this current year's September adopted budget. When the initial general fund analysis was prepared, before corrections, reductions, adjustments, or anything was made to the budget, and using full budget assumptions submitted by departments, we were facing an approximate $16 million deficit in the general fund, and to my knowledge, is one of the largest deficits that the county has had to address to date. So how did we begin addressing it? We relied heavily on the first budget principle adopted by the Board of Supervisors, which is for general fund departments to maintain a status quo budget in their net general fund county costs. So as mentioned, we reached out to those departments who had an increase over their September adopted budget, and we seek reductions from them. In addition, consistent with another budget principle, is address labor budget allocations. Those were reduced for positions that were vacant at the time payroll projections were issued. That does not eliminate the position, but it does recognize the currency vacancy levels within the recommended budget. And lastly, we remove general fund requests for capital assets and capital improvements in order to prioritize our core operations and essential services. As we move through the adopted budget process and as we wrap up this current fiscal year, we will reevaluate the overall state of the general fund to determine whether any of those items can be reconsidered with adopted budget. Additionally, we took a closer look at how the general fund supports the sheriff's office in an effort to create a more sustainable and long-term funding structure while continuing to prioritize public services. Over the last 5 years, the general fund contribution to the sheriff's office has increased approximately $6.5 million, while the overall general fund revenue growth during the same period is $7.7 million. As we worked through this budget, it became clear that we needed to develop an approach that both supports the operational needs of the sheriff's department and is financially sustainable for the general fund. Under this recommended budget, the general fund contribution to the sheriff's office of $18 million is dedicated to supporting salaries, benefits, extra help, and overtime costs as requested by the department and as provided in payroll projections, while the departmentally generated revenue of a projected $4.1 million to be utilized to support their operational costs. The structure is meant to fully support the sheriff's staffing needs, including the addition of 2 deputies for patrol, while allowing the sheriff's office the flexibility to decide for themselves what their operational priorities are and tailor their budget to meet those needs while remaining within their available resources. After the targeted reductions mentioned above, we were left with an approximate $9 million deficit, which we will address with one-time funds. The county has relied on conservative spending practices and year-end savings to avoid fully utilizing one-time funds. However, as Angela has mentioned, this fiscal year may be the first year in which one-time funds are actually needed to close out the fiscal year. While we have projected the use of approximately $684,000, the actual amount, if any, won't be known until the year is closed out. While the county continues to face structural financial challenges, this recommended budget demonstrates measurable progress in reducing the deficit through targeted reductions, vacancy management, and operational restraint. But more importantly, this process allows us to continue important conversations about long-term sustainability, priorities, and how we continue to deliver essential services within the resources available to us. As we move towards the adopted budget and continue through the coming fiscal year, staff will monitor revenues, vacancies, expenditures, and year-end outcomes. We will continue to work collaboratively with departments and the board to identify opportunities to increase efficiencies and make adjustments where needed. Although this is one of the most challenging budget cycles the county has faced, I believe this recommended budget reflects a balanced and responsible approach that prioritizes core services, supports our departments, and is a step towards putting the county on a more sustainable path. And lastly, I want to thank the auditor staff for their hard work in the compilation of the budget figures, and in particular, Kate Trost. This was her first year in budgets, and she dove in headfirst. And I'm truly grateful for her support and her team. Nikki Thomas and Kim Stillian put in a lot of work and hours in compiling the numbers for the budget. And I want to thank our county administrator, Angela Davis, for the support and the belief in my abilities, even when I question them sometimes. Her leadership and the hours that she has spent educating, teaching, and guiding me. She is an exceptional boss and mentor and is instrumental in the development of this budget. So I wanted to thank her particularly.
Does that mean you'll stay, Angela?
No. And that is all I have. So I will open it up to you, board, if you have any questions, comments, concerns.
I just had a procedural question. Do I need to open a hearing on this?
Technically, we've opened it. We just need to go through the procedures as well.
Let me go through the procedures.
Okay. That sounds good.
Hearing is now open. We already had the staff report. Thank you. Any correspondence presented to us?
Nothing at the clerk's level.
Any other reports or arguments by staff of other county departments or agencies? None. Proponents' arguments or evidence? Opponents' arguments? Seeing none, I do have one public comment. Ms. Tanya Dowse. Good morning again.
Good morning again. And thank you so much for providing an opportunity to make public comment on this very important topic. And I too want to acknowledge the hard work that our county staff puts into this every year. And I hope that I can share a little perspective from our organization. I've been here in Siskiyou County working on economic development alongside the county for 20 years. Some of you have been with me that whole time. And it's a long-term endeavor. I want to tell you that the commitment the county has made to our work over that time is why we are the organization we are today. So thank you for that. And I personally take a lot of pride in believing that I am your economic developer. And I know that you know that because I answer your calls no matter when they come, evening, weekend. And I do the best I can out in the field to try to support our county's private businesses on behalf of Siskiyou County. So your investment is part and parcel to the identity of our organization. 20 years ago, when I started at the EDC, the county's investment was $145,000. That supported me and a part-time person. Today, every dollar you give us, we have wound tightly and leveraged into other funding resources. And so for every dollar invested by the county in our organization, we deliver over $20 worth of professional services in Siskiyou County for economic development. I can't tell you enough how important the funding you give us is, because it is the key source of local match that allows us to pledge for the investment of other programs through state and federal funding sources, and even through private funding sources. And that match is a direct correlation to the work we deliver on the ground. Last year alone, we passed, in the form of direct cash support, over $2.5 million to Siskiyou local businesses. Many of them were agriculture and ranching operations through our Healthy Soils program, but there were other programs that we support local businesses with as well. We were able to deliver $2.5 million in financial investment to 19 Siskiyou County small businesses. And I think this is really notable too, that through Discover Siskiyou and our work to promote the tourism economy in Siskiyou County, we have shown strong, incredibly strong, and steady growth in the lodging revenue and the travel and tourism industry in Siskiyou County. And we outperform every neighboring county and all of our regional peers in that sector. And if you look at the direct correlation and the investment from the origin of Discover Siskiyou, you'll see a stark and clearly defined correlation between that investment and the growth in TOT. I know you're in a really difficult position. Believe me, my heart goes out to you, and I support you day in and day out for your leadership and the work that you do. I just hope you can find the resources to continue to fund the work that we do. We take very seriously the charge that we have to deliver results for this money, and it's important. And I personally just consider myself extremely lucky to be able to hold this position and work in this way for Siskiyou County and our communities. Thank you again for letting me speak.
Am I closing this or continuing?
We'll eventually adopt a resolution so it can be closed.
Okay. So I close that hearing, bring it back to the board for discussion or questions.
I don't have any questions. I just want to thank you, Sherry, for all the effort, staff, everyone that's put the time and effort into this. It's a trying year. Mm-hmm. I think talking to some of my peers, and particularly in the rural counties, they're all struggling. Mm-hmm. Some of the more than one county is having to lay off. Yeah. And I'm grateful that we've Supervisor Kopseff and I will remember back when the Great Recession. Don't ever want to go down that path again.
No.
So I appreciate, again, we're in tough times, and I, you know, I just want to thank you, Sherry, for all the effort you put into it.
Thank you.
So for me, one of the driving factors of the cost of doing business, whether it's our county, it's other counties, cities, local government, and you've heard me continue to pound on this, is that CalPERS, their health insurance premiums and the retirement factor is killing us. And I don't know how we get a grasp on that. I still would like a member of that board before our board to explain their operational finances and how they continue to pass the buck on down the line. When a family premium for health insurance is $36,000 a year, and they continue to tell you that whatever your doctor orders is not medically necessary, they become irrelevant for me. So, and it's compounded. I know that it's going on within the county family here alone, some of the problems that we're having with it. So we have to get a handle on that. The state of California's got to figure it out as well. But for me, that's the driving factor, because the rest of it is just normal business that I see going on. It's just that factor alone is what's really hurting us. So I appreciate the work that you're doing, that you've done, and where we're at. I'm not comfortable with being, you know, $9 million for one-time funding, which I hope you can explain. Do we have a bank out there that says we got $9 million in it? Because, you know, we always get hit with, we're sitting on money we don't know, and so maybe you should expound upon that a little bit.
Sure, thank you. That is a great question. Do we have a bank out there that we're sitting on? Kinda. So I think I've talked about our LATCF funding to the board before. A good portion of that LATCF funding is earmarked for eventualities such as this. So we have money earmarked for salary contingencies, and we have money earmarked for balancing the general fund. All the other remaining fund within LATCF is already earmarked for other projects. So while there is on paper a good amount of money, it is all for projects, including taking care of our general fund. Additionally, we have the budget stabilization account, which is earmarked for, again, balancing general fund, but earmarked for other things such as litigation settlements and things of that nature that maybe the county is not planning on, but we have that there should it be needed. So it's not money that we're pulling out of thin air. We do have those funds in committed accounts and in special revenue funds. It is available should it be needed.
So last year we tapped how much in that mechanism? I think it was a few million dollars last year.
Sure. So we actually haven't tapped the money yet.
Okay.
It is in the budget. It is earmarked, it is identified to be used, should it need to be used. We've been fortunate in closing out the general fund over the last several years that we have had fund balance carryover, that the year has reconciled in a positive way so that we have not had to move those general fund, those one-time monies. This year is the first year where our 630 year-to-date projections for revenues and for expenditures, there's a $6 million gap, and we have a $5.5 million fund balance. So this could be the first year where we're actually going to move one-time funds to balance the general fund.
So I know departments work very hard to have that carry over so that there is a not a negative balance at the end of this, you know, fiscal year on June 30th, which carries over to help, I guess, massage those numbers as well.
Yes.
So what is there, how do I frame this? So if we always come up with one-time funds, what incentivizes departments to be able to stay on track? If when we come to this point, there's an understanding of, oh, the county will find it somewhere.
That's a good question. So what incentivizes departments? The general fund is treated differently than special revenue funds in that there are very rare occasions, and only a handful come to mind, where we appropriate more money into a general fund department. So their motivation is that they typically don't get more money beyond what the board's approved during the adopted budget. Rare instances, again, that I can address this year is that we did remove funding from vacancies for some of our general fund departments. There are two that have expended or are projecting to go over those the money that was allocated to them, and so we will be putting a small amount of money into their budget to support their salaries and benefits. But in general, departments are given a budget, general fund departments are given a budget, and they stay within that budget. Departments aren't rewarded if they have savings. We budget from zero-based budgeting every year. So they're not rewarded if you save $10,000, you get $10,000. I think we work really hard with departments to make it clear that that's how the budget goes. And not punish anyone who utilizes all of their budget, but we are always encouraging departments to budget in such a way that's going to meet your operational needs without adding in additional funds. I don't know if that answers your question.
Yeah, no, that helps. And then the other thing is with regard to, I brought it up in the past, and I think we've corrected it, but historically what used to happen is department have X budget. But an expenditure came up that pushed them over that budget. They had to come to this board to get that increase of whatever it is. Mm-hmm. But in years past, it used to roll over as that's the new budget, instead of taking out that part that was increased from the normal, because it was usually a one-time expenditure for an emergency thing, but it got rolled in and went moved forward. We're not doing that anymore, correct?
We try really hard to identify those one-time expenditures to make sure that...
I mean, $1,000 here or there is not a big deal, but sure. $100,000 or $500,000 is a, you know, it's a huge hit.
Absolutely, and we always evaluate the prior year's budget and the 630 year-to-date projections, and we try to identify those one-time spending items so that we are not continually budgeting for one-time things.
Right,
so,
okay.
Yes.
And then contributions the other. Is this the time to talk about that, or is that coming up separately?
No, sure.
This is it?
It's within the budget packet, so yes.
Yeah, okay. So I'm in agreement with everything that's in there except for two items. Economic development, I think last year we funded them at 130-ish?
123.
So last year there was a cut. And this year there's another cut. Mm-hmm. And I guess if we're cutting, I don't support that cut, you know, I would at least like it stationary. But in Collier, there's an increase, and I'm not understanding that, where everybody else has taken a cut.
Sure. So there was a slight increase to Collier Interpretive Center, $4,000. Was the increase, and you are correct, EDC's budget was reduced to $100,000. We also removed, per direction from the board, Tobacco Education Council contributions are gone because tobacco programs are supported in other ways. And we have reduced some of the funding for our library branches, and there's a small reduction in our family resource centers. So all of those reductions well exceed the increase that was given to Collier Interpretive Center.
Yeah, but I guess what I'm saying is if we're cutting or keeping the same, why are we increasing?
I try my best to accommodate the wishes of the board, and even with the increase to Collier Interpretive Center, the overall decrease to, there is a net overall decrease to contributions to others.
Understood. Understood. I get that part. I served on that board many years and was treasurer on that board, and the cities, I don't know what their contribution is. They used to give to that organization because they're a joint powers authority. There's 9 cities. I'd like to know what the cities are contributing to this factor. $1,000 a year would be an extra $9,000. The county is the one that has stepped up and kept, you know, this $11,000 on the books for them for a very long time. We even adjusted not having a requirement for work-related stuff in order to get it. It was a straight contribution. So I think the cities need to step up on this. I mean, I know it's only $4,000, but when we're cutting everywhere else, as I've been told, we should be, you know, if we're not keeping it the same, I don't see how we increase. And I can't support that because I think the cities need to weigh in on that factor.
I can speak to that.
Sure.
Two cities that have contributed so far, and we continue to ask for more from the others.
No, and I get that, but like I say, yeah, 9 cities. There's and they're a benefactor of this.
Right.
I mean, I'm not trying to knock the organization. It's a great organization, but the county can't be the only one just coughing up enough money to keep it flowing.
I'm going to use the unspeakable term, I guess.
Unspeakable. You're unspeakable.
So we need to figure out a mechanism to not allow freeloaders on the system. I don't know what that mechanism is, but to me, if you're making a commitment for a service, you need to pay. And if you can't pay it, you're out. Right. I guess, and I will make a personal commitment to look into that with council. I have some other things I want to talk about too.
Before, Angela Davis, County Administrator, before you head into your questions, comments, concerns, are we going to address the Collier Center then? As far as I'm hearing that you want it reduced back to the
Michael's asking.
No, I know, but I just want to make sure that when we walk over, when we adopt that, we're making the, because we can make adjustments now.
Yeah.
This is being presented to you, but I'm looking, because it was a board request to increase.
I want to echo Michael's request. I want to know specifically why it's increased.
I can speak to that.
Can you please?
Well, somebody please.
Sure.
Well, just real quick, so there was a lot of board interaction with this, so I think this is the time for us to state our case why things happened.
Yes.
So Supervisor Ogden, please.
Sure. So, over the past few years, I'll try to make this short. There's been a lot of discussion on the JPA board about revenue, and so the lease agreement with Caltrans states that there cannot be any revenue generation at the Collier Center. So the only way to generate revenue is through advertising funds. That's been a consistent problem because of social media, just difficulties. The JPA board has been a little bit resistant to looking into the budget items. And now within the last 8 months, it's become very obvious that there wasn't enough funding to continue. Finally, we have the point of ridiculously high insurance costs trying to pay the one employee that we have, the closures due to dam removal at the rest area, so the building couldn't stay open anyway, trying to find grant funding to keep the building open and to pay the one employee. The fact that we can't find volunteers, because everybody knows that volunteerism is an issue these days. So, and the fact that the board is not a very active working board, so we've had two real active board members, one of them being me. So I have been pounding the pavement trying to find funding, operational funding, which is very difficult to find. You can find project funding, but you can't find operational funding. So I've come up with a number of different potential plans with the help of council. And we've been working. Now I've got a Caltrans connection to try to work through changing the agreement to try to generate some revenue. But I'm not sure that it will be enough, because our old operating funding was around $15,000 to $25,000 a year, and now it's close to $50,000. So that's where we're coming into some real difficulty, because our contract, the JPA contract agreement, states shall when it comes to funding from the members. Well, none of the cities seem to have any money either, so they've pulled funding. City of Yreka pulled their funding 2 years ago, and all the other cities are like, they don't really see the benefit when we continue to do what we've always done, and we really need to move forward with a different plan, which we've been trying to promote. So the things that I've been trying to promote to change are having pop-up areas in there to generate perhaps some local merchants to come in and be able to do online sales instead of direct sales, and then be able to get a donation back, be able to generate some different types of revenue that come into us differently, that sound like they may be able to work with Caltrans, but we're not sure yet. So those are things that we're working on. We're working on that with coordination through Fish and Wildlife, the overlook that we've talked about, that sounds like that is a possibility. Also river access, because that's all actual Caltrans property. We've already looked into that. So there's some things that are in the works right now that are really positive, but are going to take time and also money, and we all know that it takes money to make money. So these are things that are just really starting to get going within the last, 3 months. But in order to do that, we need some money. And if nobody believes in us, we're never going to get this stuff off the ground. And I am working so hard to try to make this stuff happen, but we don't have any money left. So I need help. We need help. And I don't know how else to do it.
Is the prohibition against making money there a Caltrans part of the contract?
It is a state statute, apparently. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to figure out how to work around that and get support from Caltrans to renegotiate that one particular issue. And I have support from Roger Matthews from Caltrans, and he is taking it up to his superiors to see if we can massage that a little bit. So that's where I am with the situation, and that's why I've asked for at least some operating money to get us through the end of the year. I've gone to RCAC for funding options. I have been to who have we talked to? We've talked to everybody in the world for funding, and I've kind of, Michael, I've talked to you about it, I've gone to your options, I've gone everywhere, and pretty much have come up with dead ends, and I don't know what else to do.
So, I mean, I, it's a viable thing. I just, the cities need to step up. There's 9 cities, and they're part of the JPA.
To that end, I have, you've seen the, you know, the presentation from Rennie, and when we talk about, you know, specifically asking, what do you need? And he says, support. And then he pushes back and says, well, you're all supposed to go to your own individual JPA, you know, members,
yeah,
and ask for money instead of him standing here as a part of our membership, mm-hmm, and says, oh, we don't need anything. It's like, I run up against that frustration as well. Mm-hmm. So here I am asking for money.
I'm okay with leaving it where it's at 11,000, because we do support it. We have. I just think until the cities step up, if we're cutting everybody else, I don't see how we increase. Well, that's my difficulty.
So far, we have 2 cities that have stepped up, and we continue to ask. So we're on the right path. I would hate to see that building go back to Caltrans. Go to Caltrans after all the work that we've done.
No, and I don't disagree. I don't know what's, you know, if the cities just bank on the counties, the county coming up with additional funding, it's not fair. They need to step up. Even if, even 9 cities at $500 a pop a year, that's $4,500 right there. $1,000 a year is $9,000.
So I will continue to ask.
So
I think that's just one piece to the puzzle, because Supervisor Cobbs, you brought up about the EDC. I mean, Sherry, I apologize. I thought the last time I asked it was they were going to have a status quo budget. You know, we're talking about economic viability across the board, so I think we need it in context, you know. I struggle with trying to make that big a cut. I mean, that's...
Yeah, I agree.
Percentage-wise, you know, obviously I don't know where the money's going to come from. I mean... You know,
I agree.
You can say, let's put it back in there, but where's it going to come from? I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, some tough decisions that we had to make. And I will say this about the car, because, Michael, you were on that board.
Yeah.
It's struggled ever since I've been involved with this, you know, a part of that. I'm not directly involved. I have my own thoughts on what they should do or not do. But, you know, again, add it to the list of things that we all have on our plate.
I'll continue to pursue this too. I think we all can. This is only one issue with cities that I'm aware of,
right,
and not me commitments. So there's a overall theme here, if you will, that's been burning on my list for a few weeks now. Ever since I saw Sherry turn herself inside out with the budget, and asking some pretty pointed questions.
Well,
one of the questions. So, we see vending machines at these. Mm-hmm. Who's making the money out of vending machines?
They won't allow vending. They will not allow vending machines.
They can only sell advertising.
What about the Coke machines and stuff?
They won't allow them at rest. They won't allow them.
I swear I've seen them down when I stop it.
Yeah, they put soda machines and stuff.
Yeah, it's putties.
I think it's a political issue. I think you need to get our state senator or state assemblywoman on. Hey, you got to change the dynamic.
Yeah.
Because it's not working from the bottom up here. It's got to start from the top up there down.
Yeah, because we're essentially providing an attractive service for the state for someone to use the rest stops.
Oh, for sure.
You know, there should be some.
And we're giving back to the, you know, the economy of our county and the rest of the state with this building and with this service, as far as I don't know.
Okay. I'm gonna come back to the budget.
Okay.
Please.
through the chair, Angela Davis, County Administrator, if you're going to move on, I just want to make sure that we are abundantly clear what the direction is or the pleasure of the board with regards to this discussion item.
Do you want me to make a motion to what I'm talking
about? Well, we have to reopen the public hearing because the public hearing
is closed. Well, I think we
need to. Yeah. There's actually even more procedure.
Well, I will allow County Council to explain the procedure if you are making changes to the budget. And I do want to, for the benefit of the folks online or the public, to understand that contributions to others are not
state-mandated programs. These are exactly contributions to others. So when we do have our first line of defense where we're asking departments, forgive me, Leo, I'm going to use you as an example. When we ask a department that's on a shoestring budget to come up with $15,000 and within minutes they come back and say, yes, here you go. That, to me, we have to take care of home first. But I just want to make sure that there is a clear delineation between contributions to others and our county department budgets and how hard they work and the pain that they go through to get to where we are today. So these items are from the board, who are the that you request. You have your projects, you have your interests, and so just as Sherry stated, we do our best to fulfill the pleasure of the board. So I just want to make sure that people understand that this isn't considered a county department, that these are all separate entities that we contribute to, for example, the EDC. So,
yes, ma'am.
Thank you, sir. County Council.
I don't think there was a, you're not going to change.
What?
He did. What's he in? Asked for it to be changed.
Yeah, I'm asking to change it. Well,
so I think we need to open up the public hearing first.
Yeah, so
she has procedures.
So if an individual supervisor is seeking a revision of the recommended budget after the start of the public hearing, then the revision needs to be proposed in writing and filed with the clerk of the board prior to the close of the public hearing. So what we need to do is open up the public hearing, write down that proposal, hand to the clerk, and then you can take a vote on it.
So it would be easier not to close the hearing before it comes back to the board, is what you're telling me.
So if you want to vote on it after the close of the hearing, it takes a 4/5 vote of the board to make a revision.
So the easiest path.
Yeah, because we're already here in the middle of it, reopen the hearing, write down your proposal, hand it to the clerk, and then you can consider it.
You see the puzzlement on my face because it's, we don't get to say anything until I close the hearing.
Right. Yeah, that's strange. The other problem.
This is the first time we've ever had to go to this.
And it could be that your internal procedures don't necessarily match up with the government code for this particular hearing.
Okay.
Might I make a recommendation?
Please.
You're approving temporary spending authority until we adopt the budget in September. So could we revisit this issue with adopted? I don't know if that is acceptable to the board, but that is a solution.
Does that include the EDC funding?
It would include the EDC funding.
It's the EDC funding as presented today.
Yes. No, we would be making no changes now,
discretion,
but revisiting with adopted.
So what you're saying, Supervisor Valenzuela, is that potentially that EDC would be in the same boat as C2C?
I think they are. We're trying to find.
Yeah.
We basically got to find the funding, money to get back to what I was told was going to be a status quo budget.
This isn't.
Sherry, I asked a question, and that was a couple of days ago or whatever it was. And again, I get where we're at. So this is typical what I've seen. Okay, come back, find the money, or let's see where we are in September because we're going to adopt the final. So maybe the campground does better, whatever. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to be banking on the come, actually, is what's coming down to it.
I got it.
But I think this is generically what we have to struggle with, because it's not just C2C, it's the libraries. I'm going to hear from my community libraries, you know, funding it. Where's Joanne? Didn't I not write a letter for City of Dunsbury? Because they're looking, you know, everyone's looking for more money. So I'm just letting you know where I'm at with this.
I'm okay with that. I would just suggest that these contributions, the other in particular, C2C, Collier, and Economic Development operate, you know, I guess I would operate for EDC at that 100,000 level, and for Collier, I'd operate at the 11 until final. I wouldn't bank on, you know. Does that make sense?
Angela Davis, County Administrator. Yes, it does make sense, but you know, I would like just a clear path to move forward. I do. I think that I love that solution, but between now and September, we have to close out the books for 25 and 26. And that will also be a telltale sign of how much of that $689,000 that we might have to utilize. So, yes, if you could start writing your proposal.
Yeah, that's what you want me to do.
I see your pen.
Okay.
I just want it clear so that we can move forward and make sure that everyone is understanding of what we are facing.
So I'm going to open a hearing.
Yes, you are.
On this budget discussion. And I don't think there's another presentation from staff.
No.
Do I have to go through this whole thing again?
No, you're just reopening
okay.
the hearing.
Okay. Reopening the hearing, and I'm waiting for Supervisor Cobbs up for us.
Yeah, I'm getting there. I'm just making sure I get it under the right deal.
I've not seen this in 12 years.
This is the first time, actually.
We've done it in the past. We've changed it.
Yes,
yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah,
it's
yeah.
before.
No, I just mean to how, just how it
this
happened
way.
Today. But let me just say this globally. This is just the situation that we're in, the difficulty, the decisions that have to be made. They're not easy ones. I mean, you know.
Do I need to sign it?
Initially.
I'm not going.
I'll date it?
Yes.
It's not on county letterhead.
It's barely on paper.
Is that an EDC?
I didn't touch that one yet. I didn't know how far to go in this thing.
Okay. So you would make a motion, describe the revision that you want to see to the budget, and then it will take a majority vote because it's not after the close of the public hearing.
Can we read it?
Mike, do you want a motion now or what I wrote?
Yes. Make so a motion describing what you wrote.
I would move that we would change the Collier interpretive budget item from 15,000 to 11,000. And my caveat is the cities need to be a participant in this organization financially. All of them. That's my motion.
Got it. We need a second.
I'll second.
Thank you. Ready for a vote?
No.
No?
Go ahead.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
No.
Supervisor Ogren?
No.
Supervisor Kobsev?
Aye.
Supervisor Harris?
Aye.
And Supervisor Howell?
We can revisit this in September.
Well, we're going to.
We're going to anyway, no matter what, but we just needed it clean today.
No.
A no?
No.
Okay, so the motion failed.
Mm-hmm. Okay, can I do the same thing with the EDC? Do I have to write a little thing out? Or
yep.
My motion is going to be...
If you don't, I will, so go.
I'm just going to put it out there to put it back at the previous budget.
You do understand that that's $23,000 you're asking us to...
I understand budget. That, but again, this is
when
just...
I'm
doing this as a procedural thing, knowing that it's going to come back at the likely not pass. But.
Real quick, can I say something on that previous vote? So... talking about the cities with that. So the city of Wairika makes sales tax on all of our county entities that work within the city of Wairika. So this needs to fall on their shoulders a lot more. So that's why I voted yes to bring that $4,000 back. Because the city of Wairika, off of every county expenditure that happens within the city of Wairika, collects a hefty sales tax on that. And so I think, like Chair Hopp said, the cities need to shoulder some more of what they're benefiting strongly from. So I just wanted to clarify.
Do I have a motion? Another one?
No, I'm gonna retract that. At this point, I just want to move on.
Okay. Now what am I doing?
So now you could close the public hearing.
Okay, I'm going to close this public hearing and come back to what I started.
So, just, you're going to close the hearing, but can the board comment again?
That's where I'm going.
Okay.
Because we never got there.
Okay.
Comments from the board on the budget.
Before we leave this conversation, even though we've done what we've just done, it's unfortunate that we cut everybody, but we increase one entity because the cities won't participate. And I'm going to leave it at that because the cities need to step up. There's money on the table. They're part of the organization, and we shouldn't be subsidizing it just because they don't have the money. And I'll leave it at that.
I do not disagree with you.
I understand.
I myself, this is a personal thing. It's become a personal thing.
Because to cut economic development and put more money into the interpretive center doesn't really wash for me. So, but I'll take the hit because everybody else has taken the hit. But this one is a tough one for me to swallow on Collier.
It's not final until September.
Yeah, I get it.
Exactly.
Other budget stuff. So with regard to a couple of things. On the city contracts with the Sheriff's Department, are we, I think at some time during this year, some were behind in payments. Are we flush? Is that money coming in? And if not, are we still providing services?
Without digging into the details in the banner, I cannot answer that. I don't know if the sheriff has an answer.
I don't.
Okay. I can follow up with Courtney and get back to the board on that.
Okay, because that'll be critical at final.
Yes.
Because if they're not coming in, then we need to do something different. Because again, the county cannot subsidize the cities for responsibilities that they have. It's interrelated to budget, but I'm kind of curious where it went. On the sheriff's boats, we had two boats. One, we had $100,000 that we got to keep one, but we were supposed to clean up the grant on the other one. And I want to know if we're still obligated for additional funding there or if that got cleared up. The yacht.
Yeah.
Sorry, Sheriff.
That's okay, we had to talk about boats. The previous boat we had went to Delaware County.
Okay.
That's the one we were trying
to So we're clean on that. That's the big one, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And then we used discretionary funds
right.
to pay for
Yeah, them. We did. So we're good to go as far as the state of California. We don't have anything coming down that's going to say we owe money.
Right, correct.
Perfect. That's great. Thank you.
That's good.
I'm glad that's on the record.
Sheriff, while you're there, confused, you bring up a point about we have contract cities. Of course, Dunsbury is one of the communities that you provide services for. I know this is an issue. I think it's down in, is it one of the cities that the county says they're not going to provide the services? Are you familiar with that situation? Anyways, long story short, I'm grateful that the services you do provide, but you have to get the true cost of what it costs to do the service. And I know that you have certain flexibilities, but they've got to pay the going rate too. And that's unfortunate because I'm sure, as you are aware, that the Sheriff's Department is the lion's share of the general fund, and we need to capture all the revenue to maintain status quo. And so I think all of us have to share the burden of that. So.
I agree. We have three contracts, Dunsmuir, Montague, and Doris. Combined, it's about $900,000. And of course, I know more money is better. We're trying to work with them to figure out the best way to be cost effective with that, because we have to provide services. Otherwise they would be tasked with getting their own police department, which would be millions and millions of dollars. So it's a touchy subject, but we want to make sure people are safe no matter what, so we have to kind of balance that.
But
I'm grateful for what they do, but that's been an issue before.
Well, I know, but it's a city responsibility.
Yes.
They've only come to the Sheriff's Department because of financial straits, but here we are trying to fill $9 million. We can't be a subsidy to everybody in the county. So, I'm just saying, make sure that we're getting our money. That's all. The funding is coming through. Because if it's not, then the contracts need to be canceled.
Yeah, we've talked about this before. We've looked at this before, and it's not new. It's an ongoing situation. We have capacity issues within the department, and it's like, I know your staff is strung out all over the place, and it's, I don't know where your people are all the time, but I can imagine that it's difficult to get somebody there to begin with. And here we are trying to get paid for services when maybe somebody should be over here, and we're trying to get somebody over there, and we're not getting paid for the services that you're providing when we could be using that money in a lot of different ways. And this is really important to get this squared away.
Really important. It's a continuous topic. It might be helpful for the supervisors to assist maybe in communicating with councils
How could we chat
with them? Because we meet with them regularly, and we're trying to build that back. But if you're more than welcome to be part of the process.
Happy to help.
Yeah.
I guess if I would ask, are you comfortable with where you are with the cities and the revenue and
Well, I mean, I don't look at, the thing is public safety for this topic. I think about the people and taking care of them. I don't consider the money. I know that's part of business.
Yeah.
It's just not a priority to me. And I know it's a priority for the county, but I don't think about public protection. And then you're only going to get this because you're not paying for it, because that's not the way I see it.
Yeah.
So I try to do the best that I can.
Sure. And I appreciate that because you're in a different role.
Sure.
Public safety, and that is all important, as well it should be. But I think for us, we have to look at it from the fiscal piece to it. So we got to make sure that we're as close as we can on an even plane there. At the end of the day, again, law enforcement is the biggest user of the general fund. We need to, how do we maintain that? And that's true of all counties. So I just want to make sure you're capturing all that you can on your end. Even though I know public safety is important. Here we're struggling on 5,000, 4,000. You talk about here.
Mm-hmm. 900.
900, yeah, that's a big piece.
So. Yeah, I do believe in them paying their share of it. And that's negotiated.
Yeah.
We've been trying for years to get to a good place on that. I mean, I try to give them free services.
No,
I'm just understanding.
This has been ongoing. Just want to make sure you're still in a good position with dealing with them. Because I don't want animosity. There's one down there that there is a lawsuit because of the sheriff's department is pulling out of services for a community.
Right. I mean, I've heard this too, anecdotally, but agencies have said, we're no longer responding to this jurisdiction. It's on you. And I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
Because that's wrong.
Well, I think that's the beauty of Siskiyou County. We're a very small rural county where we take care of our own.
Right. Yeah. We'll always show up. I mean, the dollars, that would be nice for them to be reflected, but it's a difficult place when you think about public safety.
Sure.
I will just add, I agree with what you're saying, but, this is the first time, and this is my 20th budget. $9 million in the hole. $9 million. Last year, we were in the hole as well. And how do we sustain that? And I'm not throwing that on you, Sheriff, I'm sorry. But I'm just saying it's unsustainable, because if this time next year and it's $12 million, there isn't one-time funding for another round of this. So unless there's money hiding somewhere, but I don't think there is. That's for all departments. We're up against the wall here. Yeah, we can fill the gap today, but next year is going to be a tough one.
Let me suggest this. I understand what you're saying. I wouldn't say no, you can't have the service if you need it in a call for public safety. However, we need to separate your function from ours. And our function is to put the pressure on the administration to fulfill their commitment. And that's not the same thing. That's not the same thing as denying services, but using whatever legal levers we have to enforce the contract. That's where I want to go with this.
But there has to be a contract first.
Well, there is one.
Is it is it enforceable at this point? Because it doesn't sound like you've got even a signed contract.
It's so we've had addendums to them. I mean, this is a. It's very challenging to capture actual costs. We've had different models, and we've been entertaining different models of how to capture that. Because if you would get down to a place where every deputy, depending on how much they make in that moment in time, we're billing the exact hourly rate, which is going to be an issue of how to capture that. So it's been based upon hours of service, and then that's basically how we've been billing it for years. And so in order to appease not only the board, but the auditor's office as well, is trying to find something that makes more sense so that when we send an invoice, everybody's clear on what it is. And these types of contracts throughout the other counties, they're all unique. And we've tried to borrow some, but again, every county does them differently. So I mean, we want to do it right, and that's part of why it's stalled for so long in getting to something different. So right now, it's just billing for the hours of service.
So I don't want to belabor this too much longer, but because I think this is what I want to personally take on here in the next couple of months with council. But I don't know why we don't have a model like CAL FIRE does. Mm-hmm. When you hit the 911 call, the billing starts, and that's how you're reimbursed. And if we shifted to a model like that, we'd actually get the true costs back into the county rather than haggling over what you think it might cost.
Yeah, well, I'll just add to that. One of the challenges, too, is that we get paid for patrol services. So anytime you go inside the city limits, outside, it's this constant, you'd have to write down. We were trying to experiment with some stuff with using like a geofence so that our computers would update when we went in and out. It's just not so easy, like, because calls for service are one thing, but just general patrol could be, it's very challenging to capture.
Yeah, CAL FIRE's in and out of cities too, so I think there's probably something we should look at.
Yeah.
The way they do their billing.
Yeah, we log our hours, it's just how we bill that I think is.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Sure. I gotta be the bright spot.
Sherry, you're doing a great job.
You are. I wanted to say that just some observation kind of stuff. Yes, we're struggling with things. We would be struggling even more if we were operating on the principles we had 20 years ago when I came into this county. I'm going to say a lot of things just for the general public. Because, you know, being an election year, boy, do we get the questions about budget and deficit spending and this and that and everything else. But what most people don't understand from my perspective, and I haven't been in government budgets for 35 years, they're fluid. You know, it's not like on June 1 you get, boom, this chunk of cash and you spend off of it, you know. A lot of our accounts are reimbursables. We have to spend the money to get back. I don't know how you juggle all that, but you know, we need great people like you to do that, and I appreciate that. The other thing I want to say too is what our keys to success going forward, I believe, is that 12 years ago, I looked at the county processes, and every department had the same thing. They were duplicating everything. GIS is a great example. Everybody had their own GIS department. What a waste of money that was. And I'm sure there's still duplication among departments. So I think going forward, we're going to have to consolidate more the processes that we share. And when I said that we're going to need IT even more, streamlining and digital processes are the future of this county. And if we don't embrace that and get on with it, we're going to sink. And that's where our cost savings is going to be going forward. I'm more optimistic that there's so much unpaid dirt out there, or unplowed dirt out there in these departments, that we have a long way to go before we start cutting employees from these budgets. With that said, our key to success too is economic development. I agree with you. I long for this county with a forward-looking process of entrepreneurial development when it comes to tax incentives, enterprise zones, those things that really would explode the economy here. We need high-paying jobs in this county, and we need to open our eyes to the future. And you know, I'm going to leave it at that. I hope that the new board next year will embrace entrepreneurship and stop looking at the past as part of how we're going in the future and start looking forward. Get off my high horse. But anyway.
Well, if I could just pick it up real quick, I will be brief. You know, I think the key here is that it's so intertwined. It isn't just one issue, whether it's economic development, new technology, all those kind of things. Our biggest cost is labor. And our employees deserve as much as we can afford. I mean, just you have to stay in the game on that front, you know. And we have a lot of good, hardworking people here. I don't want to see them leave.
Neither.
And so again, it's economic development. It's critical to the mission. Right now, is the fire resiliency part of the mix? I mean, if we lose infrastructure, people aren't coming. Tourism is the biggest piece down to South County. And, you know, again, if it was one thing, it'd be easy. It's multiple things, and it's a tough part of the equation when we're dealing with all this.
I would say that's the cheap argument I have with people in public, is that it is government's function to hire these people to get the job done, to provide the services that you're paying for with your taxes. I'm not talking about squandering taxes, but I'm talking about being efficient. But without people in this county, you don't want to live here, because the services will collapse. And that is the strength of the county. And you know, to the naysayers who want to pick apart this and pick apart that from the county budget standpoint every election cycle, you don't understand the function of delivering services to the people.
Well, that's our biggest asset, is our employees. They're the biggest piece to it. Okay, the next.
Anybody else?
Bring in CalPERS. When you go up 100 to 150% on your insurance premiums, it's killing us. I want to know why, and if their salaries have increased or gone down.
So I think I'm looking for a motion on the original hearing.
Correct.
I'll make the motion. Nobody else is going to.
I'm finding it here. There is a recommended motion on the worksheet, and it has to do with adopting the recommended budget, adopt a resolution amending the salary schedule, adopt the statement of salaries, approve new job classifications, and authorize the auditor to establish budget upon approval by county administration.
Correct.
So that's your motion, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
This is just the... until we get to final, which where we can make final adjustments. Okay,
so
thank you.
It's just for recommended. Did we have a second? Thank you. All righty. Supervisor Valenzuela.
Okay.
Supervisor Ogren.
Aye.
Supervisor Kopsev.
As long as we can make adjustments at final, yes.
Okay. Supervisor Harris.
Aye.
And Supervisor Howe.
Aye. That was a long 10 minutes.
Last year's was easier.
Thanks for all your hard work, sir.
We'll make adopted last year.
Thank you. Next public hearing, Community Development Planning Division. Opening the public hearing and presentation of staff report.
Good morning, Haley Lang, Director of Community Development. This is a second hearing, or a second reading for an ordinance where we are updating both the director duties for Community Development and Health and Human Services Agency, since Environmental Health is moving over to the HHSA.
Presentation of correspondence.
No, none at the clerk's level.
Any reports or arguments or evidence from other staff? None? No proponents, arguments, opponents, arguments? Seeing none. Public comments, time for public comment. Seeing none in house.
None online.
None online. No rebuttal. No. Close this hearing.
This being a second reading, yes, we can close.
Back to the board for discussion or
move to approve.
I'll second with the caveat that we're going to keep services the same, that we're not going to get into a bureaucracy where we're going, why did we move it? Thank you.
Alrighty, Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yep.
Supervisor Ober?
Aye.
Supervisor Kopsa?
Aye.
Supervisor Harris?
Aye.
And Supervisor Howe?
Aye. Good morning. Item C, the second reading of an ordinance reclassifying approximately 160 acres of land on Schwingmeyer Gulch.
Hello and good morning, Chair Howe, members of the board. It's always nice to see you all. I always enjoy coming here.
Do you come here when we're not here too?
So as you stated, this is a rezone, a second reading for 160 acres of AG2 being rezoned to TPZ. We did have a PowerPoint, but it's not essential. Do we have it? Just to give you an idea of the location, unless you have it in your packet already. Basically, this is property located southwest of Rarica, on the ridge there next to Cove Mobile. Staff is recommending approval. No changes have been made to the ordinance since the last reading on May 5th. Okay. Staff is recommending approval, sir.
I remember now. Is that the end of the second report? You done?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Any correspondence at the clerk's level?
None at the clerk's level.
Any reports or arguments or evidence by other staff? Seeing none, no proponent or arguments from opponents. And a public comment? Seeing none in house?
Showing none online.
Not online. No rebuttal. I'll close the hearing and bring it back to the board for discussion or motion.
Move to approve.
Second.
Okay. Motion and a second, Wendy.
All right. Supervisor Valenzuela?
Sure.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
Supervisor Kopsa?
Aye.
Supervisor Harris?
Aye.
And Supervisor Howe?
Aye. I guess you can stay right there, James.
Thank you, sir.
Item D. Open the hearing on ordinance reclassifying approximately 640 acres in Oak Creek.
Again, my apologies for interrupting, sir. This is a similar project. This is for 160 acres. This is located west of Rarica on the next PowerPoint. It's 640 acres owned by Acer Klamath Forest. Staff is recommending approval of this ordinance. No changes have been made to this ordinance as of the last date of May 5th. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, James. Any correspondence at the clerk's level? No?
No, not at the clerk's level.
Any reports or arguments or evidence that I have said? Seeing none, proponent or opponent arguments? Any public comment? Seeing none in house?
Showing none online.
None online. No rebuttal. I'll close this hearing and bring it back to the board for discussion or a motion.
Move to approve.
Second.
Supervisor Howe, were you a second?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. Supervisor Valenzuela?
Sure.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
Supervisor Kopsa?
Aye.
Supervisor Harris?
Aye.
And Supervisor Howe?
Aye. All right, open the next hearing, James, again.
Thank you, Chair Howe. This is the last TPZ zoning for the day. This is for 2,600 acres of AG2 being rezoned to TPZ. This is east of Montague, Staff is recommending again approval of this ordinance. No changes have been made since May 5th. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Do we have any correspondence at the clerk level?
This was one from our previous first reading. It was one of our notification letters that came back to Lee Tai Kong et al., but nothing further.
All right. The presentation or arguments are evidenced by other staff that I see. Opponent argument that I see. Public comment, any public comment online?
Showing none online.
None in-house, no rebuttal. I'll close this hearing. Discussion by the board or a motion? I'll make a motion.
Second.
I'm sorry, I missed that. Thank you. Alrighty. Supervisor Valenzuela.
Okay.
Supervisor Oberon.
Aye.
Supervisor Cobbsen.
Aye.
Supervisor Harris.
Aye.
And Supervisor Howe.
Aye. Thank you, James.
I have one more project, sir. My apologies. You may go.
You going to stay for lunch?
Yeah. This is the last project for the day. I think this is ending the meeting. This is a rezone of some rural residential property by the Mott Airport down by Dunsmuir. It's 11.4 acres of rural residential. It's going to be rezoned to commercial highway, which is more appropriate for the zoning. The applicant's very excited about this. He's been contacting me asking if the board's decided. He's really interested in developing the site. I think it's going to be appropriate for that area. It's going to be good for the community down there. That's the end of my report, sir.
Thank you. Do you have any correspondence?
Nothing at the clerk level.
Any reports or arguments by other staff or county departments or public agencies? Seeing none. No other evidence. Public comment. Any public comment? See none in house.
Showing none online.
None online. No rebuttal by proponent or opponent that I see. Am I closing this?
Yes, sir.
All right. Close this hearing and bring it back to the board.
Move to approve.
Second.
If I could type. Supervisor Valenzuela.
Yep.
Supervisor Oberon.
Aye.
Supervisor Cobbsen.
Aye.
Supervisor Harris.
Aye.
And Supervisor Howe.
Aye. Thank you, Dan.
I appreciate you all. It's been an interesting observation today. The decisions you make are very difficult. You know, it's a hard chair to sit in. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Okay, I'm going to go quickly to the board and staff reports.
I haven't received any.
No?
Nothing to report.
None?
I'm waiting on the governor.
How about the board?
I want to get Nancy out for her hair appointment.
Well, we have to go to close again.
Oh, that's right.
We'll get her out.
It'll be fine.
I'll wait till the next meeting.
I'll just say, Supervisor Hopps and myself hosted a tour with Jen Kwan from NOAA and her staff last Thursday. It was very educational, I think, for her and her staff on seeing the projects for fisheries that we currently have and are proposed for Siskiyou County, because we don't get credit for the work that's done and or what's coming up. And so it was strategic on our part to at least propose this. She spent Friday up there in the project, and I haven't heard how that went as well, but we did not participate there.
And which project was that particular?
The Klamath project.
Klamath
two, project. Yeah, Tule Lake project.
Oh, gotcha. Thank you.
Yeah, I was very encouraged by it,
yeah,
by the dialogue that we had on the ground and the engagement. And opening, I've worked with NIMS for a long time, and I've not seen that kind of openness before from a director, and that's encouraging for implementing some of the fish recovery projects that we have going. And that regional director seemed to have a pretty good handle on hydrologic differences between coastal streams and inland streams, which is going to help us a great deal.
Yeah.
I attended the annual fire readiness meeting on the 3rd, hosted by the Klamath National Forest, the CAL FIRE. In summary, it's going to be an interesting summer. The federal agencies are kind of in a state of flux with the reorganization. The fire service that supposedly is taking over all the fire operations under the Department of Interior appears only to be closely aligned at this point with BLM and the agencies within the Department of Interior. I had to actually ask the question when I have a fire in the county on Forest Service jurisdiction, which is the bulk of the county, outside of the CAL FIRE DPA, what line officer do I talk to? After a quite a long pause, actually, the four supervisors stood up and said, I guess that would be me. So this transition hasn't really happened yet. And I was pleased to hear that the tanker base is somewhat functional and ready to go. CAL FIRE is ready to do just about anything. They're up and running already. So stay tuned. We're in a very strong El Nino for a very hot and dry summer this year. So depending on lightning, we'll see what happens. That's all I got.
Pass.
All right, with that, we're going to go to vote.
Real quick.
Yeah, trying to get
you out. I'll talk real fast. Just two things. CSAC Ledge Conference down in Sacramento, and then RCRC County of the Chair was in Mariposa County. And if you don't know, Mariposa County houses Yosemite National Park, which was amazing. A lot of really good work was done, and some really great people, including Director Megan Hurdle was there, as well as Fiona Ma, who's our state treasurer, were both there to share their time with us, which was really great. And we went to a goat farm, and it was really great. There were little baby goats there, and it was fantastic. And it was in all this huge 2,000 acres of ecological repurposing, and it was very cool, and they give a lot back to the community. So, like, that was the highlight. I'm sorry. It was really great. Anyway, a lot of good work there. Great people. Mariposa County is super cool. So you should go if you haven't been there. So that's all I have.
Okay.
Did you mention we met with Heather Hadwick while we were down there?
Oh, when we did at the Ledge Conference, we had a very wonderful conversation with Heather Hadwick. Supervisor Valenzuela was with me at the CSAC Ledge Conference. Good conversation. We were at the Capitol building. We were on the assembly floor. I do have a few pictures.
We brought up some issues for Siskiyou County.
And we brought some serious issues for Siskiyou County, and we were heard. So that was very productive time. Shared those pictures with Allie. So, yeah, good time at the CSAC Ledge Conference.
Now we'll go to close.
Now we'll go to close.